We have a work party scheduled for Saturday, May 13th, 1 p.m. Be moving mulch around the yard, fixing up the beds. If you've got wheelbarrows, rakes that you can bring to help life be a little easier, it'd be appreciated. If you'd like to make application, show up. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intent of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening in the doctrine of reversionism. Roman numeral 5 here, dealing with the categories of reversionism. Pick up around subpoint B, page 7 of our notes. All right, if you've not already done so, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you've dealt with sin in the life, incidental sinning or otherwise, through the rebound technique, so that you can benefit from the grace of God, of Christ's work on the cross, by being in a state of spirituality, also known as having fellowship with God, allowing God the Holy Spirit to be in rulership over the real you, to in conjoinance with our human spirit, give us the power and ability to spiritually understand the truth of Bible doctrine, isolated with the SCA, isolated otherwise in this respect. This is how God's Word is designed to be understood and heard in this respect. Believers do not practice this. Many, if not most, churches, etc. Hence, you have all the skewered ideas and interpretations of Scripture and other ideologies that are thrown into the mix. Today, it's all lukewarm, Padman-puking aspects of the Bible that are thrown out to be God's plan. That is not what we are about. We are about the purity of the truth of doctrine, the gold, silver, and precious stones. That's part of this imparting in regards to those who will adhere and avail themselves of it. And this must be done under God's proper protocol, not our agenda, His agenda, and that is via God the Holy Spirit. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for yet another opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us the truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, for those who want to venture into the area of reversionism, the barrel's full of the different avenues one may take. In regards to being a reversionist, obviously we seek to avoid that at all costs, to the degree possible, based on our own volition and God's grace. But otherwise, there's as many areas of reversionism that one can attach themselves to, as well as a combination of, as there are areas of sin in the life. It all begins in the mental attitude, with mental attitude sins. A lot of believers do not even recognize this type of sinning. I was brought up in the Fundy world that if you didn't go overt with it, you could sit there and think all you wanted to all day long, and it was all right. Well, Jesus taught different than that, did he not? He told the Pharisees that they lusted after women in their heart, that's in their mind, in their souls, etc., and hence a mental attitude sin that he recognized. Men were obviously the male population would be guilty of on a consistent basis. These religious leaders were no different in that respect. So mental attitude sins such as fear, anger, including bitterness, deceit, envy, jealousy in the list there under subpoint C for anxiety, fear, and worry. That's an easy one. Almost everyone falls into that sin in regards to their lives on occasion. even the most astute John the Baptist got under it in regard to his ministry, sending back his disciples to double check with Jesus, are we okay here? So even the best believers will fall into certain sins in a life. Fear and worry is prevalent in regards to the Christian life, often in that respect. Hatred, mental attitude, hatred. Obviously, the reversionist functions and operates under this mode of thinking, emotionalism, etc., consistently without repentance, without confession, etc., in regards to their sin in life. Unrighteous judging, going around erroneously critiquing others, often in areas that one has no business otherwise in that respect. To judge righteously takes Bible doctrine, takes isolation of your own sin nature, not letting it influence in regards to your evaluation of things and others, yourself included. Pride, arrogance, at point H, which obviously leads to approbation and things of this nature. Satan, the first sin of Satan was pride. Pride in his beauty, his position in the third heaven, in the throne room. It was in his heart. It was hidden. And from all indications, God says, okay, well, watch this. And he created a universe with a heaven and earth in it. And all of a sudden, he was no longer the center of attention in the third heaven. And the anger and hatred then could not keep bottled up in regards to what was going on inside his mind. And he revealed his person for what it really was. So pride, arrogance, how long it stayed hid, we don't know. But obviously one could be operating in this way for an indefinite amount of time. Lust, again, as we mentioned earlier, whether it be regards to the sexual lust or details in life, things of that nature. Rebellion, on the overt, looking obedient, but in your mental attitude, cursing your boss at the same time you're going out performing the duties in an open rebellion, things of this nature in regards to one's thinking. After mental attitude sins, we have verbal sinning as the second main category of sins of which one can get out of fellowship over and literally find themselves in reversionism because they are not willing to bridle the tongue. So one, verbal sinning does not exist apart from some mental attitude sins that prompt it, obviously. Anger, bitterness, envy. Two, believers who fail to deal with the mental attitude sins are likewise candidates to become verbal sin reversionists. A whole different meaning for tonguers. To be a tonguer reversionist. Not necessarily the holy roller type, but sins of the tongue. Three, areas of verbal sinning include, as we are looking here at the list, A, lying, not being honest with the truth in regards to one's person, with respect to others, with respect to representation of what one may be presenting, such as the Bible, etc., to proclaim God's plan states that one must do something and is not recorded in the Scripture, obviously, is erroneous. It's a lie. So many believers think that they are free to go out and add to God's Word or take away from it as they so please, and as long as they have good intentions and have the love of Jesus in their hearts, as they would say, they're all right before God. Now, if you lie, you're out of fellowship. That's all there is to it. And for those who do not recognize that, don't rebound it, then they operate in a consistent state of carnality in that respect. So Ananias and Sapphira, they were good examples of what God thinks of liars, especially when it's directed towards positive volition and the ministry in and of itself. B, flattery, building people up in a false way. There's a place for encouragement. There's a place for compliments. We're not idiots. We recognize that. The flattery is an approach to others simply to truly catch them off guard or ingratiate oneself with another agenda attached to it. We are told to beware of the flattering tongue. Females, in regards to the world, and males, is obviously a way that many try to get their foot in the door in relationships and things of this nature. And the superficial, they'll fall over themselves for that. You let them tell them how beautiful they look, how well they're built, etc., and then they melt. You know. Not always. And sometimes you see it going on and say, man, that's not flattery. That's just an out-and-out lie. Okay. Anyway. I didn't look at that. Good looking. See, gossiping, busybodies, meddling, to spread rumors, talking about others where you have no business, to be relating information to another person in regards to one. Obviously, females who have nothing better to do will congregate often for this purpose. You see it in movies, you see it in TV programs, and they make it humorous and things of this nature. But it's all still a sin in regards to God's eyes, people that live a life like that. Again, we're not talking about incidental issues. This is an ongoing, perpetuated area of sinning in one's life without arrest through rebound. D, where we left off, slandering or maligning, speaking evil of another person, lying in regards to another person, implying something not true with respect to the person. 1 Corinthians 5:11. In the list of SCA expressions, obviously all these show areas of reversionism, but in that list is slandering or maligning. I actually wrote to you not to associate with any designated brother if he should be an immoral person or covetous or an idolater, religious reversionist, a reviler, speak ill of another, spitting venom verbally regards to people, a drunkard, one who is an alcoholic. They had their orange juice, you taste it, it has vodka in it. That's why they start their day every day. They ought to double check themselves. They can't get away from drinking rather than the occasional stepping over the line. Or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Reviler, maligner, slanderer. And there are people like that. You can't get around them without hearing them shoot some venom out in regards to somebody. Boasting. Well, this is promoted as a good thing in our society. Is flaunted in regards to not only academia, but in the sports field, etc. To be boastful, to exalt oneself, bragging, James 3:5. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. A verbal sin of the tongue to boast of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Like the certain rulers of the world, how powerful they are, and throwing out threats and etc., what they'll do. Professional wrestlers are renowned for this kind of stuff. To boast. The doctrine is, if you find yourself in a situation people are threatening, basically just keep silent and just be prepared and attack when necessary. You don't have to go around boasting and tell them how much you're going to kick their ass because they're yelling at you. Huh? See if they got it in them and bring it on. It's kind of hard to practice, but that's the doctrine. Be silent. Faith rests it, get in fellowship. Obviously, the best thing is to try to diffuse it. And if you got on your sneakers, that's a good way to do it. Daniel 7. Monty Python knew what he was talking about. Run away, run away. In regards to the Antichrist, that's one of the things that he will be part of his character and noted in his auditory presentations. Our society is kind of getting used to a little bit of this type of characteristic in a person. Rather than now, he boasts a lot. Daniel 7:8. While I was contemplating the horns here in regards to the powers to be, here this is prophetic in the future, points to the last days. If you've been through Daniel, you know this. Another horn, a little one, came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it. The Antichrist will come out of the European Union. Europe will be his base of operations. He will be one that simply appears more or less out of nowhere. That's because he's resuscitated from the dead and makes his arise in this regards. He is ruthless. He will overthrow or crush any opposition around him. And here three nations are seen to be in his way on his rise to power. And three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like eyes of a man, and a mouth uttering great boasts, great things. And verse 20, in the meeting of the ten horns which were on his head, the other horn which came up before, which were three of them, fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boasts, and which was larger in appearance than its associates. People brag about what they're going to do, what they're going to accomplish in life. And God is usually never part of their acknowledgement in regards to any success. Otherwise. So boasting is something we should stay away from. Don't get wrapped up in this kind of stuff. F, cursing, if you will. We would say casting a spell on someone. We're not talking about idiomatic language. Damn, hell, those words are in the Bible. Skubula is in the Bible. If you don't know what that means, that's dung in the Greek. Idiomatic language in and of itself is not a sin. It's the context of which the words are used or the attitude behind the words that would be the sin. That's a cursing looks at a desire for revenge. May Allah plaster many humps on your back or whatever as a camel, you know, whatever. I can't think of any good curses. It's been too long. James 3, 8 through 10. But no one can tame the tongue. Again, as part of the context, it trying to bridle the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. That doesn't mean that it's impossible to bridle the tongue, but it's just one of those things. We all tend to speak often before we think. And say things that you wish you could retract, and they never came out. And it's full of deadly poison. It can mislead, misguide, hurt emotionally, mentally, otherwise, bring about erroneous actions on people, such as through false accusations, bring a real hurt in people, see that in the society. Somebody sees them, parents spanking their kid in public, one call to the social services, and the kid gets yanked out of the house. Man, if you don't have any righteous indignation or crap like that, then you've got a real problem in regards to God's righteousness. That's just a pisser. Idiomatic language, by the way. Or maybe that's a curse, who knows? With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God, recognizing everyone has a soul. You never know, even with reputations of certain people, what is ultimately there. God knows and reads everybody's ticket, reads their hearts. We don't know. So obviously, we should watch our tongues, bite our tongues, and recognize that what may seem to be apropos in saying something mean-spirited or whatever today may actually put a hamper on a potential opportunity for witness later. You never know. See? You never know. You never know behind the skin what kind of soul lies. Jonah and the Ninevites are a perfect example of that. We're going to see it when we get to Abraham and Abimelech. You never know. See. Blasphemy. That is calling God a liar. Hence, that is distortion of Bible doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:20. Hence, a form of lying when it's related to Bible doctrine is known as blasphemy. Obviously, it can be used in a cosmic sense too. 1 Timothy 1:20. Paul had to put up with people slamming his ministry, taking issue with his teaching, and he felt compelled to put out a warning and even name names in regards to those that he considered to be dangerous to those under his charge. And here's a couple of men in that regards. Hymen, Gnaeus, and Alexander. Alexander, obviously Greek. Hymen, Gnaeus is probably Greek too, but Hymen is often a Jewish name. Among these are Hymen and Alexander, those who have spiritually shipwrecked in regards to their faith. They were on doctrine at one time and adjusted by all indication. And they have rebelled, whom I have delivered over to Satan, so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. Not to blaspheme. People that go off that direction. Application is doctrine of separation as apropos, and turn them over to the cosmos and let them run with their STAs, and the cosmos tends to deal with the STAs their way. See. People may take advantage of someone who is otherwise adjusted to doctrine. They recognize they have a strong sense of forgiveness and don't generally try to cause trouble even when people may pursue them with trouble. And, they start jacking with them. Well, get out in the world and they jack with the wrong person that way. They'll find out that not everybody is so peaceful and so grace-oriented in regards to people. But anyway. H, grumbling or complaining. Obviously, we can recognize things that are out of sorts. That's not necessarily complaining. You know when you're complaining, or whether you're just simply addressing a situation. Philippians 2:14. How many people that you might know at work that's all they do is consistently complain about things? Well, there's an area of reversionism. If they're not dealing with it with rebound, etc. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Always some people just always got to take issue. It's fine to express an opinion, but people need to realize when it's simply just an opinion. Whether it's the right way to go or not is to be seen. See, so complaining, etc. James 5:9. Do not complain, brothers, against one another. We should especially withhold dissent of the tongue in our fellowship, our close fellowship with one another, positive believers, etc., that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the doors. The dispensational realities that will bring about eventually the rapture, the Bema Seat, the war ceremony, and Trib and Second Advent, etc. So, to the best of our ability, we are stick to our own knitting, keep our nose to the grindstone, only get involved when God makes it clear you're supposed to get involved. And He'll make that clear. If you're a position of leadership and authority, obviously you're going to have more opportunities generally than one who is simply in a subordinate in areas like that. All right. E, then the final area, category, which one can sin and be show evidence of reversionism is overtly. Overt expressions of the sin nature. That's the one where most Christians will tend to recognize these areas of sinning. Overt forms of reversionism. One of these areas of reversionism are usually the most immediately perceptible among Christians. You're doing it, then people can see it. Two, while the areas mentioned could take on numerous forms of manifestation, obviously, in different ways, we categorize them under their primary form of purpose. What the common denominator among different avenues of how one may sin, to begin with, such as monetary reversionism, under money, lot, is an example we just went through as a monetary reversionist, willing to compromise his relationships in life, his own spiritual life, for the sake of money. 1 Corinthians 5:11 again, we just saw that verse. Swindlers is a form of monetary reversionism, to cheat people out of money, such as we find consistently heavy in the banking industry, people, investment industries, how many people have been taken down. And you may think, well, I wish I had millions and millions of dollars. And, well, yeah, that's fine, but you lose it all, that's a real slam. You only got 20 bucks in your pocket, you lose it. Well, that kind of hurts, but I'll find me another 20 easy. go out and find you another few hundred million real easy, see? So, you know, it's all your perception. It is how you think about things. Think about a doctrine, et cetera. This is where you're at. This is where you're at. This is the way God blesses you. The more you got, the more that there's out there for Satan's world to try to undo you, obviously. God permitting that to occur. Why you should always pray for God's protection, etc. in regards to things. 1 Timothy 6, 9-10. The warning of letting money become your sacred cow in life at the expense of your spiritual momentum and Bible doctrine. For those who want to get rich, verse 9, 1 Timothy 6, fall into temptation and a snare and many literally stupid and harmful desires. What people will sacrifice in regards to integrity otherwise to get ahead in life. It's amazing what people truly will give up just to get an inch, you know, ahead monetarily. And it's not always, you know, about winning the billion-dollar jackpot. It's just what people will sacrifice just to make a couple hundred extra bucks a week. And they'll throw their whole Christian life down the tubes. And make them move away, get out of God's geographical will, things of this nature. So these are part of the snares out there that await each and every one of us in regards to trying to draw us away from doctrine. And that is through the temptation of money and obviously all that it can provide otherwise, supposedly. And harmful desire, verse 9, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. It becomes their Achilles heel. Their impetus, their force of life. 10, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. It's not the root, which is often most misquoted by the fundies out there. No, it's a root. It's one of many roots of evil that one can attach themselves. That's where you get this erroneous idea is that somehow you got to live a Spartan lifestyle to really be spiritual in life and things of this nature. What a crock. We still recognize it is a root of all sorts of evil. That's because money gets you in the doors that other aspects of your life are unable to accomplish for you. From which some by longing for it, verse 10, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a sorrow. It's kind of like, well, if I get this more money, then my problems are going to be resolved. All right, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. I know how it is. You make more, you want to buy more. It's just generally the way it works. And you still find yourself, you know, often scraping to get by. You're not a good steward of your money to begin with, it's going to run your life and ruin your life otherwise. But flee from these things, verse 11, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness, those virtues of life that have real value. Second category, main category of overt sins is the sexual or phallic trends of man. Not unique to either sex. Both obviously are steeped in the natural desire, which having a sexual desire is natural. God created our bodies to perform and enjoy sex, but there is a proper place and a proper time for sex to occur, and he tells us the conditions of that, and that is under the divine institution of marriage. only under that divine institution of marriage is sex to be enjoyed amongst members of the opposite sex. We saw what God thinks of sodomites. He turned them into flames of fire. In Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, 1 Corinthians 5:11, in the list of SCA things there. Also, 1 Corinthians 6:9. What they may teach you at school, try to shove down your throat and in public through TV and things of this nature. You know, you don't have to believe that stuff. You may have to endure it and deal with it to such a degree for you to accomplish what is mandatory by society around you otherwise. But it doesn't mean you have to buy into it. You may have to listen to all the dribble in regards to the false theory of evolution through school, but it doesn't mean you have to believe it. Learn what the idiots have learned, and you memorize it, and you put it down on the test questions as the answer, and you move on. Okay, this is what these idiots believe. Blah, 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 blah. So it is in regards to the sexual degenerates. Just happened to see her on YouTube, so it just came out. Yeah. And everybody thinks that's so cool. First Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It doesn't say they're not going to heaven. It says you won't inherit. That comes under a doctrine of SG3, surpassing grace, phase 3. Christ is going to bring his reward with him. A revelation tells us that. And that's for those who are willing to plug in regards to God's plan in their phase 2, get in fellowship, and apply Bible doctrine lies in isolation of the sin nature. And he's going to reward us. There is a real inheritance that we can be benefactors of if we're willing to hang in there with doctrine. Throughout our lives, it's going to blow us away. I mean, whatever sweet dreams you can have in regards to that which in your own mind makes everything about life so spectacular and so worth living. This stuff is going to shame that. It's going to be that great. I cannot explain it. It's impossible. The Bible says it's impossible. But that's part of our inheritance. And that's part of what God has promised to us if we will avail ourselves and live a life by faith looking at these things. Why not? Why wouldn't it be by faith? It doesn't have to be physical. It doesn't have to be tangible. Everything else you're living by is by faith. So why would you not believe the reward by faith? See? And that's the idea. Do you not know that the unrighteous, that's people under their sin natures, specifically those who perpetuate it in a reversionistic way, not just simply incidental sinning, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, even though it's true, every time we get out of fellowship, the period of time we're out of fellowship, we're losing opportunity for reward. But overall, the inheritance package will be complete. And then he gives a list of those types of activities, or as we would say, people, reversionists, that rob themselves of this because they live a lifestyle contrary to righteousness. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. That is your normal perverse sexually fornicators. That's the sexual intercourse between a male and a female who neither are married. See, which our society basically now embraces. Oh, that's fine. Well, go ahead. Sure. Yeah. And they tout, oh, we've been fornicating now for 38 years. Isn't that great? Because they've lived together this long and like they've been married. You know? And people, isn't that great? Look what they did in Hollywood, idiots. There's people that I generally like as actors and stuff. I don't know if they fall in this category. This is just how upside down our society has now thinking in regard to things. And believers get wrapped up in this stuff, see. And you hear crazy things, you know. Single people living together want to come to Bible class, and they find out, you know, that they're single and they're living together. Well, you know, if you're going to do that, you can't come to Bible class. And, I'm sleeping on the couch. Yeah, right. Give me a break. If you are, then she's sleeping there with you. You know, all this stuff that people try, they think that old timers, they don't know any better. Most of us have already been there and done that. Well, some of us have. I don't want to say most. Some of you are a lot more righteous than your pastor probably in that area. Nor idolaters. Idolaters. People who pursue religiosity. See. They have their own agenda of worship in regards to life. Whether it be lukewarm fundyism or simple outright, you know, religiosity like Catholicism, whatever. And you have a mixture of these things. Nor adulterers. Now that's sex between a male and a female, where at least one of the party is married. That is a sin. And those who live this kind of lifestyle, pursue this kind of lifestyle, when they get to the bema seat, they're going to have a pretty good fire going on. And when it's gone, they're not going to have anything, generally speaking, left of any value after the fire. See? I'm not saying that people can't do this and somehow get SG3 somehow throughout some of it, but overall, it'll be minimal. Nor effeminate. That is how a person acts. I know I'm twisted. I watch these shows and stuff, you know. I like to watch House Hunters and you know, Caribbean lifestyle, things like that. You know, it's always fun to watch in Cleveland in the middle of winter. You get a little sun along with your golf games on Sundays. But anyway, you know, you sit there and these people are going, queer, queer, queer. And just by the way they act, you can say effeminate. And you see this now in regards to the generation of young people. People just, everybody just thinks it's all right to act that way, a guy to act like a girl, to be effeminate, to be soft. You know, of course, with all this transgender bullshit that's going on, well, what would you expect? You know, the kid's confused already, and now you're out here and you're confusing even worse. That just, you know. Let me move my soapbox up here a little bit. Okay. But that's doctrine, see. And I understand that people want to practice these kind of things, that want to imitate the cosmos as regards. Fine. Let your SG3 go on. I'm talking to believers. Believers who should know better otherwise. Nor homosexuals. Which, obviously, the effeminate type is an emulator, an imitator of a homosexual, otherwise, generally speaking. The queen, as they call them. Queen of the day. Good grief. The sodomites of the world, whether they're female or male. That is abnormal perversion sexually. Look at your bodies, look how it's made, figure it out how it fits. Nor thieves. People who steal other people's belongings, etc. Nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And you never know what kind of background population may come out of. Truly, just local churches are a party of strange bedfellows in that sense. Many of us come from many different types of backgrounds. Some from very religious backgrounds, some from real hell-raising backgrounds, some with no religious experience at all backgrounds. Different kinds of SEA pursuits otherwise in life. And then you get hooked into doctrine and your life, goes on from there. And Paul recognizes that that's just the way it is. And shows you what God's looking for. Positive volition in regards to people. And such were some of you, but you were washed through Christ's work on the cross and saving faith. You are sanctified by plugging in with doctrine, setting yourself, committing yourself to doctrine, utilize and rebound the maturity adjustment, that you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. He made it possible for all these black marks, if you will, in our life to be overruled and to be dealt with otherwise, and to fill in the blanks with righteousness rather than continuing on in lives that did not honor or glorify God otherwise in this vein. So the phallic scene, the sexual scene, how many sexual reversionists are there in the world? Probably about as many sands as there are on the seashore. Unbelievers, believers. See, then you had the pharmakia scene, the pharmaceutical reversionist, drugs, drug addicts, alcoholics, even though I qualify that alcohol is not a drug, it's a stimulant. Medical society can say what they want. God's against pharmakia, that's a drug. And he tells the Jews to buy wine and hard liquor. So obviously it's not a drug in God's eyes. But we understand alcoholism, drug addicts, those who particularly become dependent upon these things, and it runs their lives otherwise in that respect. The drunkards of 1 Corinthians 5:11 again. Galatians 5:20 in their list. There is termed sorcery, whereas drugs are used quite often in the cultic practices, often associated with sexual improprieties and things of this nature. Galatians 5:20. Idolatry, sorcery, that's our term, pharmakia. See, it looks at the abuse of drugs, drug use in regards to one's approach in life. And don't think that it's just an individual situation. Our government's big into pharmakia. They'll give you free drugs. You're hooked on heroin. They'll give you free drugs otherwise, because that's not the drug they want to push. The pharmacy has another drug better for you. It's free. And you see comments on the internet, and you understand, well, you know, cancer is a disease. How come you don't give this free chemotherapy? The hypocrisy of it all. The pharmacy industry today is very evil. You know, I understand if you're in the medical field, the necessity of these things. I know there's proper places for it. But overall, it's an industry. And it is doing nothing more often than getting people addicted to drugs that they don't need otherwise. And it's the psychology, the psychiatrists of this world were very instrumental in getting a lot of this stuff out there. And when they were able to get their permission to hand out prescriptions, drugs, and things of this nature for emotional problems. Instead of whacking somebody upside the head like they probably needed, or put them in jail. But, people become inured because it's so rampant. It almost nauseates me to watch some of these commercials. You can't find a single one that they don't at least list off 20 things that's probably going to happen to you otherwise when you take a drug. It shows you just how damn dangerous it is. But yet, oh, here, take this. Give them some LSD, let them trip out, man, and at least joy life. You don't have to kill them this way. I mean, you know, that's just my logic if I'm going to go that direction. But anyway, you got to be careful. You got to be informed. I'm telling you, you've got to be informed today in regards to any decision you make with respect to your life, your health, and otherwise. Because there are people out there that are professionals. They dress professionally. They had degrees. And they're going to recommend things to you that are not the best sometimes for you. And that's where prayer, Bible doctrine, your right associations in life, things of this nature all come into play. See, God protecting you, etc. And I know it may sound like anti-medical establishment. Mainline medicine, you know, I am kind of anti. But you have your exceptions. I mean, you've got good doctors out there. You just got to look for them. It's like you got to look for a good car salesman. You know, you got all kinds of car salesmen. You look for a good one. Or a mechanic, or whatever. Be informed. Know what you're getting into, etc. Understand, and the whole point of this is this whole thing is pushing nothing more than pharmakia that God's against in regards to people and societies and things of this nature. You wonder why we get it in the neck in 1 hour, one day. Sodomites, homosexuals, pharmakia, every unclean bird is settling, if it hasn't already settled. And they're crapping all over the place. Just don't get it on you. Criminal and anti-establishment. Don't get a lot of opportunities to exhort in regards to areas like that, but I'll take the opportunity this evening. Criminal and anti-establishment. We'll pick that up Sunday morning. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light and see things. In Jesus' name, amen.